Good evening, everyone. I think I need to get a new chair. This is too squeaky. I hope you're all doing well. Our prayers for everyone here in this group of remnants. I'm going to start just a couple of minutes early. I just want to give Doug a chance to confirm to me that he can see and hear me okay before we dive into things too much. And I'll repeat this, but I'll just put it up for now. The title of this evening's live stream is Thought Leaders and the UN Emergency Platform. And if you're wondering what's behind me, those are the cages for our dogs, as I've mentioned before. I'll speak about Finley, our youngest pup, here in just a moment, but just want to confirm with Doug that we're doing okay on audio and on visual video. So, let's see what's going on. Give him a moment to respond. Our scripture for tonight, both from Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, and then Exodus 23, verses 1 and 2. And then loyalty always contributes. Fantastic scripture. All scripture is fantastic. I want to read the two that he posted just before we went live here tonight, and I'm going to read those as our opening for this evening. So Doug, let me know, are we doing okay? Sound and video, sound and picture. Anyway, he may be distracted by something. So let's go to the scripture that Loyalty posted in band. Revelation chapter 15, verse 2. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. That's the remnant. Revelation 15, verse 2 describes you and I. And secondly, this is from Andy Third Temple and Band, Psalm 58, verse 3. The thought leaders, as he says in quotations, the thought leaders, and this is from the UN document that I'm going to cover this evening, the thought leaders are found here, quoting scripture, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Both highly appropriate for this evening's conversation. Doug is letting me know that our audio and video is good, so we're going to continue on. But yeah, what I want to present to you tonight from the UN is nothing but lies. I don't know how much time I'm going to have tonight. I just want to give you a programming note regarding Finley, our youngest pup that I mentioned. We, as you know from what Kathleen posted in band today, she posted some pictures of Finley with his, basically it's like a bandage cast. It's not a plaster, but it's like a cast to support his weight. He had one of his two hind legs surgically repaired today. The tendon that is supposed to be midline on the kneecap, the patella, luxates as it's called, it is improperly positioned, which then pulls the kneecap, the patella, off the knee joint. And so he's not able to walk properly, and he's been in pain, and he's not able to, certainly not able to run. So we took him in. The doc told me after I picked him up, or when I picked him up this afternoon, that he was textbook. He was perfect. It was a perfect operation. So thank you for all your prayers on behalf of Finley. The surgery could not have been more perfect, more remarkably perfect. So the vet instructed me that I absolutely have to keep his bigger brother Chance away from him. Because as you know, Chance is just full of beans. He's crazy. He loves to run and play, and he loves to wrestle with Finley. And his issue regarding the tendon repair, which is a repositioning, actually taking the bone that the tendon is attached to below the joint and moving it laterally to another position where it can then, through the normal process of the bone growing, unfortunately, he is still growing, he's less than a year old, the bone actually grows together, it grafts together. There's no separation of the tendon from, actually in this case, a ligament, because it's crossing a joint. No real reason to detach the ligament from the bone itself. You just take the bone with the ligament still attached as an anchor and move it over and then put it in position and wrap it tightly, and there's a long recovery. So we're looking at several months before he can be scheduled for the second leg to likewise be repaired. So the challenge for us is to keep his rambunctious, crazy, older brother, who's very strong, very lean and mean, and he's not a mean dog, but he's very lean and athletic and loves to run and wrestle with poor Finley, who's just a laid-back dog, and he just kind of goes with the flow. And it's not from the roughhousing. This deformity is a genetic deformity. Many of you that have dogs have animals. This happens with horses as well, large livestock. This luxation of the tendon and the ligaments, it can be either or both. But at any rate, it's a genetic deformity. It's not something that was caused by a traumatic injury. So he'll recover from it. Just takes time to heal. And thank you again for your prayers. As such, I'm not sure how long I'm going to be able to stay on the live stream tonight. I'm kind of thinking it's going to be about an hour this evening, because I've been assigned to sleep on the couch in the sunroom with Finley, because he has a nice bed there, instead of putting him in his cage next to his brother this evening. We have two cages side by side, but I'll be helping Finley through the night, and he needs to be lifted and carried outside to do his business and whatnot, so I'll be doing that this evening. So I may need to cut things short so that I can take him out and let him go out in the yard. So all is well, things are good, doing great, and we are extremely appreciative of you all as members of our family, and we count ourselves as members of your family. So if there are any of you that are listening and wondering, why is this guy talking about his dogs? Why doesn't he get on with the program? Well, we are friends here, and we are just sharing information, whether it's about our family and our family members, which our dogs are, or we're talking about any of you or what's going on in the world. It's just kind of how we do things here. On that note, I do have a little bit of administrative information that I need to share with you. As you know, you all registered with Subscribestar, which is the service that provides us the ability to have a private group, to keep it private, and to create this classroom environment, both here in the live stream as well as in band. We were notified just, today's Thursday, I think it was Tuesday. We were notified by Subscribestar that they were going through the database, and we have no control, we have no say over this, going through the database. And Subscribestar members who, for one reason or another, and many of you may not even be aware of this, but Subscribestar sends out emails. We don't trigger this. Doug doesn't trigger this. Sends out emails to remind people that they need to renew their subscription. They need to re-register. Well, Tuesday, they notified us that there were quite a few. There were about 300 to 400 people who were being purged by Subscribestar because they did not maintain their registration, their subscription. So if any of you have received an email from Subscribestar asking you to re-register, to sign up again, it's because they're going through their database and they're purging those inactive subscribers. So we would ask you, first of all, please do not contact Doug if you are having an issue with your registration on Subscribestar. Simply go back into Subscribestar and sign up again if you choose to, okay? Doug is going through his own database and he is providing to us the emails on those members, those subscribers who have received a notice from Subscribestar to re-register. And he has to do that manually. In fact, it's a four-step process going through various databases for Doug just to be able to copy out the email, because we don't have an active link that will open us directly into the email record of a Subscribestar member. It's rather cumbersome. For Doug, it's extremely tedious, it's time consuming. He's not a volunteer. We pay him for his time. So we thank you for that, for our ability to pay Doug for his valuable service, his expertise, both technically and also, he's a fellow brother, he's a fellow Christian, he's a fellow remnant, he's a fellow family member. So we need to take care of him as well. So on your behalf, he is working diligently in the background. So please don't contact him, go directly to Subscribestar and re-register if you would please. So, what are we talking about tonight? Well, as we have promised now for about a week, we wanted to have an opportunity to read through this document that was published by the UN on March of this year. And it's a policy brief. It's in two parts. The first policy brief from what they entitle as Our Common Agenda, and I think it was Thursday of last week that we read the summary to this. But the first part is entitled To Think and Act for Future Generations. Okay? So we kind of touched on that part already. What I want to touch on is part two tonight, because I have read this entire two-part document, and this is the part that's most insidious. And again, because of limited time tonight, I'm going to summarize this by way of my own notes. But it is entitled Strengthening the International Response to Complex Global Shocks. an emergency platform. So tonight, thought leaders, which comes right out of part one, policy brief one, where they identify what they also called select intellectuals and intellectual leadership. Let me see if I wrote that down here. Thought leaders and intellectual leaders. They're the advisors. Ooh, they're the intellectuals. Okay, I'm really impressed, as I know all of you are. But from the title of policy brief two, an emergency platform is what I wanted to include tonight in the title and what we're going to focus on. This is heavily based on their modus operandi, problem, reaction, solution. You knew that was coming, okay? Emergency platform. And they address emergency both in the reactive to an emergency and proactively anticipating future emergencies. Okay, well, great. That sounds all benevolent and wonderful. The problem, as I see it, as I view it, is 180 degrees to that. It's appropriate that the April edition of Entangled Magazine is dealing with what I referred to as not black swans, but inverse black swans. And we elaborated on that during Tuesday's live stream. I defined it and elaborated on it, and I don't have time to recap it tonight. So I encourage you to listen to Tuesday's live stream on black swan. But it is the essence of a black swan event that it is unpredictable. Therefore, you cannot be proactive in preparing for a black swan. And it is unrecognizable, and it is sudden and severe in its manifestation. So they might as well, when they say emergency platform, just say we're addressing black swan events. As I said on Tuesday, I said, there are more and more references to the black swan event in the mainstream narrative and certainly in the alternative media. And I noticed a video this afternoon while I was waiting to pick up Finley, get the call to go down and pick him up, from one of the economic analyst YouTube channels, in which they came right out and repeated, not as an inverse black swan, but came out and repeated almost verbatim what I presented regarding black swans. And the fact that they did that is emblematic of the expectation that I presented to you on Tuesday, and that was you're going to hear this in the media much more. And it's part of the psychological operation. It is the predictive programming by repeating and repeating in a variety of media outlets the label black swan, so that it begins to bubble up, as I like to say, in the common conversation of Joe Bag of Donuts. They may never have heard of a black swan, may not know how to define it, may not know how to apply it. But they're starting to hear the words black swan all over. Well, that's to provide that predictive programming that when something like an emergency, a global emergency, a global effective emergency, like the plandemic COVID-19, which this thing is all based on, and they cite it all the way through about COVID, that was obviously a black swan. Well, this is what they are saying. We need to predict, we need to prepare, we need to address before it happens. That's the part that is so worrisome about this document. It's not the reactive. You know, I spent many years as a first responder. I understand about reactive responding to emergencies. Okay, so we address that and we would say, oh, the UN just wants to put plans in place should an emergency occur. And we'd all kind of go, well, yeah, that makes sense. The part that's difficult here is the prediction, preparation, what they want to put in place. Now, I'm not reading through my notes yet. I just wanted to kind of give you some of the highlights right at the beginning, some of my punchlines, and that is, this is about surveillance. This is about clamping down on what they define in this document as disinformation. And I'm going to read some UN from some UN websites about disinformation. But the big picture here on the disinformation is, unless you comply with the mainstream narrative, you are labeled as someone who is putting out disinformation. And what you're saying is vilified and discredited, and you as the individual who is presenting the information in whatever format, in whatever venue, you too individually, personally are attacked and vilified. I'm saying all this to you. It's not news to you. I'm repeating what you already know, because when you hear Black Swan, I want you to understand what's coming behind it. You see, COVID-19, we know that was the excuse to change the paradigm of the world. The principle was not so much the quarantines, that was bad enough, was not so much losing jobs, which was bad enough, the destruction of the supply chain system, which was bad enough, the horrible side effects and the deaths due to the vaccines, not the virus, was bad enough. The thing that was the worst about COVID, and this is still unfolding as I point out in this month's magazine, the thing that was the worst was that the world was forced, the global population, who tends to be parochial in their viewpoint, tends to look at the world through the lens of a village, to borrow from Hillary Clinton, it takes a village to raise a child, right? That's ancient history. But through the eyes of what you might call provincial viewpoint, sort of the racehorse blinders. You only see what's going on in your community. I'm not saying you, I'm talking in a rhetorical fashion. And therefore, there's a limited perspective. There's certainly not 144,000 foot cruising altitude perspective. The world's paradigm shifted from provincial as a paradigm to global as a paradigm. All of a sudden, everybody is being told this is a pandemic, meaning it spreads everywhere. It's everywhere. Pan is complete coverage, complete distribution. It's everywhere. Pandemic. So the world is forced into viewing us as a global village. We are forced into a paradigm of ignoring national boundaries, ignoring national sovereignty, ignoring freedom of speech, ignoring free will, ignoring your inalienable rights given to you by God Himself. You are forced into, again, speaking rhetorically, you are forced into thinking differently, that you don't have any rights except the rights that thought leaders, intellectual leaders, and so forth, the WHO, the World Health Organization, the UN, who they determine you should be listening to. And at the same time, concurrently, what you are allowed to say. So this paradigm all of a sudden became global, and everybody was supposed to toe the line to the mainstream narrative. As I said about the bell curve regarding black swan events, there is an outlier to the bell curve. The beginning at the baseline, the beginning and the ending point at the baseline of the bell curve, the outlier data. You're not allowed to be an outlier in your actions, in your thoughts, in what you profess to be the truth. The paradigm of the world was, you will be told what the truth is. This document destroys individuality. It destroys that perspective by an individual to think of themselves as an individual. Now, I can appreciate in many cultures, especially in the Far East, the cultural norm is to think of yourself as part of a group, not as an individual. And I can appreciate that. But even there, the perspective is shifting to a global group, a singular group. We all know about the New World Order. We all know about the Antichrist as the one world leader, the dictator. We all know about that. But in order to create that system, people have to be mandated. This is a mandate. This is not voluntary. This is, as someone pointed out in Band, it's the WHO and the UN pushing their rules on all individuals around the world. You are not allowed to think of yourself as an individual or an individual in a small group. You are a part, and they're making it very clear that you're an insignificant part of the global population. And therefore, their perspective that they're indoctrinating people into is to view the global population in its entirety first. You know, their sustainable development goals, their stakeholder goals, their stakeholder responsibilities, their green agenda, their climate change agenda. These are all, in the bigger picture perspective, these are all meant to force people through predictive programming, but also through repetition of phrases and labels like black swan, to progressively, it's an insidious creeping effect into the subconscious to force people into thinking of the entire population first and not themselves. Now, we might say, well, we shouldn't be selfish and think about ourselves first. We should think about our fellow human being first. Well, not so fast, Pilgrim. Because if you deny yourself, if you deny what is good for you, then by default, all individuals who are denying what is good for them, denying, for example, independent thought and critical thinking. Denying the individual by self-imposed limitation on free speech. Remember, politically correct language. We self-censor ourselves. Thus, we censor the entire global population made up of individuals that are self-censoring, but most people don't realize they are self-censoring in their speech, in their actions, in their viewpoint. This is how creeping and insidious this is psychologically, and why we encourage everyone to think independently, to be a critical thinker, which means go out and check the facts yourself and check your sources of those facts. Make sure you're not getting information from someone who is putting out disinformation, which again, in this document, they are saying there are problems with disinformation. However, what it is they're saying anything that's an outlier that doesn't fit the narrative is automatically disinformation. That causes self-censorship. And because most people are just passive receivers of information, they are passive receivers of instructions, and therefore they passively just go along with what they're told to do. That's what they're advocating at the UN. You just do what the thought leaders, the intellectual leaders, prescribe. COVID served that purpose of forcing people subconsciously into thinking globally rather than individually, and not what's good for their little village community. Even if they live in a city of several million people, it's still a village compared to the entire global population of cities. To not think in such a provincial manner. Well, there isn't a great deal that's wrong with thinking provincially, thinking in terms of your local community and supporting and contributing to it, wanting the best for the people that are in immediate contact with you. There's nothing wrong with that. Because if each, let's just say for Hillary's sake, if each little village, and it could be 5 million people, I don't care, we're talking village, village, village. If people are focused in taking care of their own community, we don't need a federal government. We don't need a state government. Might be appropriate to have only a county level government. So I'm not here to, you know, say, take down your government. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that if the focus, if the viewpoint, if the attention is upon your local community, and every local community around the world focuses on the needs of their local community, then the entire globe, the global population, is well taken care of. Simple logic. What the UN is presenting, and they couch it in emergency platform, okay? COVID-19, it's an emergency. And they don't say black swan, but they outline in here what basically are their plan and their attempts at predicting future black swans, emergencies, global impacting emergencies, by silencing, surveilling, commanding, and controlling of the entire global population. They will say, for health reasons, there's the WHO. Oh, we're predicting, and this goes back about a year ago, the WHO came out, and many of you are familiar with this, and we presented it. They said, we want to predict, and if we have certain health professionals, health experts, that raise the alarm and say, we might have the start of what could develop into another pandemic. We're seeing locally indicators that tell us we have a new virus, for example. It could be a bacterial, but we have an outbreak in a small community. And immediately the alarm is sounded and, oh, this is another pandemic. That's what they did with COVID. It didn't qualify within the classical definition of a pandemic, which means it's everywhere. COVID was not a pandemic when it first became known in the general public in January of 2020. But it was immediately jumped upon as an opportunity. Now, we know this was scripted. We know this was planned out. We covered this in the magazine. We covered it in the live streams. This is artificial general intelligence and quantum computing. Okay, all scripted, planned out, released. But in those early moments, there were only, from my recollection, there were only about 100 to 200 cases of this new SARS-CoV-2 virus that had been identified within the entire global population. You have maybe 200 people that are infected. And to what degree, what level are they infected? What are their signs and symptoms? What's the effect of the virus at the initial outbreak? But immediately it's declared a pandemic. And you guys know that. This is exactly what the WHO wants to do with the UN, because the WHO is part of the UN, that the first inkling the clampdown hits, the alarm bells go off, everybody is surveilled, silenced, controlled through the command structure that they're setting up here. There's no national sovereignty. The WHO's plan, in conjunction with this emergency platform document from the UN, there are no national borders physically. There's no political, governmental, constitutional sovereignty, which means a nation and its nation-state government have no say. The intellectual thought leaders will dictate what will be done, what actions will be implemented. So this is pre-planning of those actions. So I'll read you the title of this again, because I would urge you to go out and punch this into your search engine. From the United Nations, dated March of 2023, Our Common Agenda. Just type that in and you'll see Policy Brief 1 and 2. Okay? Very easy to find because they want everybody to see it. They are spelling out their plans for global control. This is laying out the playbook under the Antichrist. We've talked about the infrastructure, the biological, the technological, the mark of the beast, all of that infrastructure, the cryptocurrency, building out blockchain. This is their plan, their playbook within that infrastructure. This is how the Antichrist will implement his command and control. So I urge you to read this two-part document. Let me go to scripture before I jump into my notes. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. Verse 16, Exodus 20. you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Well, this is what the WHO, this is what the UN is doing. All those that are part of this, they are bearing false witness. Replete throughout this document, they always reference COVID-19. The lessons learned, the mistakes made, how we can do it better, how we can silence disinformation, how we can clamp down on the population and not allow them to travel, not allow them to live a normal life. They bear false witness. They put out disinformation in order to cause people to think from a position of fear, which eliminates critical thinking. So they don't question the so-called experts who are bearing false witness against the population, against their neighbors. And Jesus will deal with them, and he will deal very harshly with them. Let's go to Exodus 23, verses 1 through 2. One and two. Verse 1, you shall not spread a false report. Do not join the wicked. Not interesting. Think about the mark of the beast. Do not join the wicked by being a malicious witness. I would not want to be in Anthony Fauci's tiny little shoes. And verse 2, you shall not follow the crowd in wrongdoing. You know, I'm not going to apologize. I'm pointing the finger directly at the pastors, preachers, and ministers, the leaders of congregations, the leaders of denominations, into the millions that we put in the precursor video and by their own video presentations and by their own written position statements regarding the vaccine. You shall not follow the crowd in wrongdoing. When you testify in a lawsuit, do not pervert justice by siding with the crowd. And do not show favoritism to a poor man in his lawsuit. God makes it perfectly clear. This document is nothing but lies. We always encourage you to think independently, be a critical thinker. We ask you, for those that are new here, we call it the Patch 180. Take their document, take their statements, and turn it 180 degrees around, and you will see the truth. The truth will be revealed. Because what they're presenting are lies. If you turn the lies around, if you invert the lies, you're left with the truth, which reveals what their hidden agenda is. It tells you what they are really doing and intend to do. Okay? So the UN emergency platform. They have 3 points as calls to action. This report is all about action, putting things in motion, not just talking about it, not just having committees, not publishing white papers, not just putting out policy statements, but they're saying now is the time for action. They're saying everyone that they're addressing needs to be committed. And they're starting with the nation states. They're starting with the political leaders, the corporate leaders, the academic leaders, saying, number one, you must be committed. Number two, this plan must be integrated. Number three, it needs to be an agile plan so it can change if the situation requires it. So in their citation frequently through this document of COVID-19, this document provides both their excuse and their outline for the following. Their excuse and their outline for the following. Proactive prevention, which consists of monitoring, that's surveillance, forecasting, that's self-fulfilling prophecy, if you will. Forecasting simply meaning their planned events, their scripted events, just saying when those scripted events will happen. That's the 180 to their forecasting, because it is all scripted. And forecasting potential future shocks. Over and over and over again in this document, they use the phrase future shocks. Those are black swans. This is why I wanted to so heavily delve into the concept of a black swan in this month's Entangled magazine. And we spent many live streams talking about it. Because the black swans, as we would label them, they label as future shocks. But they're inverse black swans because they're scripted future shocks. They're not a shock to those that wrote the script, to those that are reading the script, to those that are implementing the script. It's not a shock. It's not a black swan event. No matter what it is, whether it's biological or economic, military, weather, it's all scripted. So the expectation I am offering to you on two labels, watch for, listen for black swan events in the media. And the second one, they will begin to roll this out because we have their script. They're going to roll out the label future shocks. Remember, people are still in a state of fear regarding COVID. Yes, the masks have been removed and the quarantines are over, all of that. But people are still programmed. It's in their subconscious. They're hypersensitive. Therefore, they're still operating in a state of fear. And they've taken the mark of the beast, which means their way of thinking from the moment it was injected began to change. It was altered and it continues to alter. And they're suffering under the delusion. I call it the grand delusion, the great delusion that God has given them over to because they didn't seek Him first. So their way of thinking is not like your and my thinking. So when they hear the words future shocks, the words black swan, they react, they respond from a position of fearful thinking, fearful reactivity. I've called this, and it's been a while, but remember I referred to this as brainstem thinking, instinctual fight or flight, survival level thinking. It's not prefrontal cortex where you have analytical, logical, higher level critical thinking processes in the brain. No, it's down here at the instinctual level because of fear. Again, this is by design. It eliminates independent and critical thinking. When you keep the population in a state of fear, and now you compound the problem by injecting them with the mark of the beast that changes their way of thinking. And they're delusional. They're homo novus. So I'm offering to you, watch for Black Swan in the media and watch for future shocks. Now, one of the big premises, we'll call it a premise, that this is document from the UN is based upon is the concept of all nations coming together, every single nation on the planet. And I'm going through this document and I'm reading about how they're going to work together, communicate together, share information. And they even say it in here, sharing intellectual information. So think of patents, right? Sharing of intellectual information, sharing of resources. Now we could say, well, yeah, if it's a virus and it's spreading and there's a legitimate pandemic, you want to share research, you want to share the science, you want to share the possible therapeutics and maybe curatives and treatments. Sure, that sounds good. But it begins with cooperation of all nations from the standpoint of the UN. And the UN, I don't know, maybe a dozen times they put it in this document. They said, this requires the UN. They put themselves front and center in all of this. It's their own plan, so of course they would put themselves front and center. But they're painting a picture of none of this can happen unless the UN's in charge. I'll say that again. None of this will happen unless the UN is in charge. So my question that I wrote to myself in my own notes, as I'm reading them saying, UN in charge, UN in charge, UN in charge. Well, I kept thinking about China. I mean, look what China is doing with respect to, what's his first name? His last name is McCarthy. Maybe it's Kevin McCarthy. Anyway, he's the Speaker of the House in the United States. And he went to Taiwan to meet with the leader of Taiwan. And so China jumps up and down, gets all upset and says that, you know, U.S. shouldn't be collaborating with Taiwan. Well, Taiwan's been an ally of the U.S. for years. Why is China suddenly getting all upset? That's a whole nother discussion. But from 144,000 foot cruising altitude on Patch Airlines, we say, wait a second. UN says everybody has to get along, everybody has to implement what they're saying. Well, what does China have to say about it? They're a member of the UN. Do you really think, in they're talking about accountability, this is the UN, there has to be accountability. There has to be a criminal world court, global court, global justice system. There has to be a criminal justice enforcement mechanism. Who's going to tell China what to do? If every nation on the planet somehow got together under the auspices of the UN and said, we're going to arrest the dictator of China and a smattering of other people that they prosecute and find guilty of humanitarian issues, enslavement, beatings, death, under a totalitarian regime, trying to go into that country and arrest those individuals. Good luck with that. These people are so full of themselves. And I keep looking at this accountability, accountability, accountability. And because they want to implement, they want to put into action, they want enforcement, they want this justice system for those that stray, that violate their plan. It could be an environmental crime. It could be a humanitarian crime. Could be an economic crime. It could be a military crime. China's not endorsing this. And they even acknowledge it from the UN. So why do I bring up China? Because there are other countries like China, smaller, not as powerful, but not everybody wants to go along with this program. The representatives in the UN, doesn't matter who they are, each individual UN representative from each individual country, they're appointed. They're not elected. If they come from a country where there are elections, where there is the right to vote in a constitutional framework, they're not elected. We don't elect our UN representative. That person's appointed. Sure, they go through selection and approval, you know, Congress and the Senate and all that nonsense. But they're not elected. And yet now we have a document from unelected officials who, of their own accord, claim that they speak for us. COVID-19, I'm just going through my notes here. COVID-19 is their excuse in the banking world for nationalization of banks. COVID-19 set the pattern for nationalization, because COVID-19 in the United States and other nations became a national agenda. They want to call it a national crisis, but it was a national agenda in so far as the mandatory quarantines, travel restrictions, COVID passports, mandatory shots, jabs, vaccination, mandating. All of these things, that destroys nationalism and it replaces it with multilateralism, a word that is replete through the almost every single page. Multilateralism is cited. So let's define that. This is from Encyclopedia Britannica. Multilateralism is a process of organizing relations between groups of three or more states. They're talking nation states here. Beyond that basic quantitative aspect, multilateralism is generally considered to comprise certain qualitative elements or principles that shape the character of the arrangement or institution. So this is elements or principles that nation states can agree upon. So they get together. It's collectivism. It's groupthink. It's one world government. When you see the word, hear the word multilateralism, I think a lot of us just kind of gloss over it. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means one world government. It means nation states agreeing upon elements and principles, which is what this UN document is. It's those elements and principles that everyone must toe the line and agree to. Otherwise, it's labeled as disinformation. And that's not just restricted to COVID-19 discussions. When they say disinformation. Multilateralism has a long history, but it is principally associated with the era after World War II, during which there was a burgeoning of multilateral agreements led primarily by the United States, the organizations most strongly embodying the principle of multilateralism are found are to be found in trade, the World Trade Organization, and security, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO. Numerous multilateral environmental institutions also exist. So, anyway, these are agreements between nations. That is global governance on the part of the UN. Obviously, this UN is setting themselves up as the arbiters, the disseminators, the creators of a one-world government. So where do you think the Antichrist is going to be revealed? I would expect it would be in the UN General Assembly Hall. He'll do like all the other representatives of the nations. Go up on the stage, stand behind the podium, and declare himself to be God. Again, COVID-19 in this document is being used as the justification. The coming together, the working together, the sharing of information, the common narrative, the common steps that are enacted, like quarantines and travel restrictions and so forth and so on. All of this is to force multilateralism using the lessons, as they say in here, the lessons learned from COVID-19, which if you do the patch 180, what are the lessons learned? What does that mean? It means that which we scripted and implemented, put into action, and then enforced. Okay? Those were the lessons learned. In other words, how successful were we in quarantining the global population? How successful were we in mandating the jab, the mark of the beast? How successful were we in restricting travel and requiring COVID passports, proof of vaccination? How successful? How successful? How successful? Those are the lessons learned, the answers to those questions. And they used COVID-19 as a scripted dry run exercise for this document. And that's why they reference it so frequently in the document. That was their future shock. COVID-19, as they look at it retrospectively in this document, is labeled as a future shock, an example of a future shock. We would call that an example of a black swan event. So COVID-19 was a black swan, a future shock. Now, the label black swans being applied to economics, to banking specifically, and this too is a black swan. This too is a future shock. The purpose of the future shock, the purpose of the black swan, is to justify the clamping down of the global population, the destruction of national sovereignty, the destruction of constitutions, destruction of a way of life, destruction of freedom of speech if it exists, freedom of the press if it exists, destruction of individual thinking if it ever existed. This is a document of destroying the world as we know it. This is a document that is outlining their plan that they want to rapidly implement. They want to make it accountable. They want it to have the force of law behind it. We're not talking about laws that we enacted through our elected officials. These are UN laws, international laws, global laws that are forced on a global population that is devoid of a voice. These are laws that are dreamt up, prescribed, delineated by their so-called intellectual leaders. The present great financial crisis, as I'm calling it, which is scripted, is for the purpose of ultimately leading to an economic reset. We know that. In the meantime, as I've outlined in the magazine, this is the consolidation of the banking system worldwide. I've used the United States as an example where the regional banks are collapsing and being consolidated. They're being nationalized because they're being bailed out by the Federal Reserve, ultimately being merged into the mega banks, and then even the mega banks eventually being merged, consolidated into the Federal Reserve, known as the lender of last resort. That's in the magazine. Okay. Both COVID-19 and the global financial crisis has set the stage for the reset, which then ushers in the Antichrist. Already covered all of those things in my notes from memory. We're just about here on the 1 hour mark. Sorry to use that word. I do think we're going to wrap it up a little bit early tonight. So this is your homework assignment. The United Nations, Our Common Agenda, March 2023. Because I view this as their playbook for ushering in the Antichrist. They have many other documents, but this one encapsulates many of their policy statements. Today I was reading through probably a dozen different policy statements and roadmaps, as they call it. Let me just finish on this one example of what I was reading today. And this comes from the Stimson, S-T-I-M-S-O-N, the Stimson organization. Think of them like a think tank, okay? They published a report entitled Beyond UN 75, a roadmap for inclusive, networked, and effective global governance. This is specific to the UN's agenda. Global governance. The UN has always been about a one world government. They just disguise it by saying these are United Nations in the plural. Those nations are going to be wiped out in terms of their sovereignty. Beyond UN 75, their report considers the new kinds of tools, networks, and institutions combined with enlightened. Look at this. We have intellectual leaders, thought leaders coming out of the UN documents, right? And now enlightened global leadership. Wow. I'd like to meet somebody who's enlightened, because I'd want to ask them, who's light? Is it Lucifer's? You better bet your sweet Bippy, when they say enlightened, they're talking about worshiping Lucifer. Talk about a patch 180. Required to take forward the 12 commitments at the, why are they 12? Why are they 12? 12 commitments at the heart of the UN 75 Declaration adopted on September 21st of 2021 by the world body's 193 member states. That's the UN, okay? Drawing on insights from past and contemporary scholars. Ooh, again, I get a collective, contemporary scholars. I wish I had another hour because I can feel myself starting to get fired up here, and we're not going to go there tonight because we don't have time. Contemporary scholars, and world leaders who we didn't elect, okay? The report explores the concepts of a new social contract. Do you want to be in a contract? Do you want to sign a contract? Do you want to be forced into a contract? Do you want to live your life according to the specifications of a contract? A new global deal and networked and inclusive multilateralism. There it is again. I don't know what that means, but it sounds good. Multilateralism, introduced recently by Secretary General Antonio Guterres. He's the guy behind this. Okay. To help the United Nations better grapple with 21st century transnational challenges, it further offers a roadmap for revitalizing global governance between now and 2023. Okay. We're right here, folks. 2023 is the year. I read this, and all I see in here is Antichrist 2023. By harnessing the ideas and capabilities of states, civil society, the business community, and international organizations in the run-up to a proposed World Summit on Inclusive Global Governance. When is that coming? September of this year. Okay? That's from another document that identifies it. They don't say it right here. September of 2023. World Summit by the UN on Inclusive Global Governance. Inclusive means you are part of the hive. You are part of the sheep, the flock. You're not an individual. You can only think as part of the group. Group think. Why in COVID were the COVID-19 did they keep saying herd, 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 herd until you heard it and heard it and heard it, herd immunity? Because it programs the subconscious into thinking like a herd. What's good for the herd? I can't think about myself. I have to think about what's good for the herd. So we all take the shot because that's what's good for the herd. And if you don't take the shot, then you're a threat. You're an outlier. You're a threat to the herd. So you need to think of the herd first and take the shot. I told you I was going to get worked up here because it pisses me off. The United Nations better grapple with 21st century transnational challenges. It further offers a roadmap for revitalizing global governance between now and 2023 by harnessing the ideas and capabilities of states, civil society, the business community, and international organizations in the run-up to a proposed World Summit on Inclusive Global Governance. The Stimson Center promotes international security. That means command and control and surveillance, okay? Security, when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction, right? Security, when they say security, that is surveillance, command, and control. Shared prosperity, no, that's universal basic income for the serf class. Shared prosperity, that's wealth redistribution. That means you will own nothing and be happy for it. Shared prosperity. And justice, no, you don't have a voice. There is no justice system. because there is no state sovereignty. You cannot have a justice system. Through applied research and independent analysis, deep engagement, and policy innovation. For three decades, Stimson has been a leading voice on urgent global issues. They talk about their own institute. This was published in June of 2021. They were looking to 2023. If you didn't know it, we're in 2023. Sorry, I'm just being ridiculous here. I need to wrap this up. I'm sorry, I'm going further than I thought. We'll carry this over to Sunday. Okay, maybe between now and then, I'll calm down. Probably not. This really incenses me because this is all written by Satan. This is not from God. This is only from Satan. If it's not from God, then it comes from Satan. One of our good friends posted in Band, I think it was yesterday, and he and I have had long conversations about this, so I'm in agreement. Those that are in self-prescribed positions of leadership, those that have been placed in positions of leadership, orchestrated and put in positions of leadership, and I don't care if it's economic, political, scientific positions of leadership, those at the highest levels, they are not operating in a secular manner. Their thinking is not secular. Their plans are not secular. What they put out is not secular. They are not thinking like a scientist, like a politician, like a CEO that you would engage with. That's what I mean by secular. Talking business, talking science, research, talking economics, talking buying and selling, commerce. That's secular. They're thinking spiritually because they worship Lucifer. They worship that false light. They are under direct demonic influence. You think I'm crazy? It only requires research to know that what I'm saying is accurate, is factual. Without the research into history and the books, et cetera, the manuscripts, you can look at what has been unfolding, literally for thousands of years, but what has been unfolding here in the so-called modern era. Does it look benevolent? Does it look like we're on the right track? Does it look like we're going in a positive direction? Obviously, the answer is no. That means this is Luciferian spiritual influence over the thought leaders, the intellectual leaders, the unelected leaders. We know them by their fruits. God bless you all, and good night.